Open the eyes of my heart this evening. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
House of the Lord. Good to be here on a good Wednesday night. I was thinking today, it's a sad time, but it's a glorious time. And I found this quote. I want to read it to you Brother Branham. I tried to find the quote. Maybe somebody can find it. Where Brother Branham said, somebody you know will meet you across the river. Because you've never been that way before, and it's a dark place. Listen to this. 1950, Brother Brown's life story. Said, one morning the doctor will probably leave the room saying there's nothing else can be done. Loved ones will be standing and wringing their hands, crying. The cold vapors of death floating over the bedside. Cold, chilly winds of death sweeping. Their pulse coming up your sleeve. Then breaking through the mist will come that old ship of Zion. The morning star will come down in the valley of death and light it up. They'll see two glossy wings of the Holy Ghost reach across to Jordan and say, come on, you blessed of my Father. I seen you that day in that little old tent meeting down there in Cleveland, Ohio, when you came and you accepted me, said, now I'm accepting you. That makes you feel good. Oh, yeah, there's a big question mark, but to have the morning star come down to the valley of death and light it up for you. The Bible says in Psalms 116, it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We get it so backwards because we cry to death and we rejoice at a birth, but the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 7:1, says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. So we get it kind of backwards. So we're sad for the family. We know that's for sure. But we know one thing's for sure. I'll promise you. He got met on the river. Brother Dick was standing right there. Because Brother Dick died about a year ago. He was standing right there. He said, come on, Brother Ray. I know where to go. You know Brother Dick, he done scoped everything out. He said, couldn't find no Chick-fil-A over here, but he said, come on, Brother Ray, I know what to do. He said, Brother Tatum met me. Then you just keep going down the string of the different ones that met you on this side that you'll meet on the other side. Because as I was reading before, and I think I may read it again today, where Brother Brown says your spirit is familiar there. It's not familiar in the fifth dimension. Listen, our soul's not even familiar with this down here. Right. Amen? That's why we're striving to get there or bring them here so we can go in a rapture and we can take a flight over into another dimension. And then, you know what? They're going to continue to beat each other up on this side until we come back in the millennium. But I thought that was a wonderful quote. He said, the two glossy wings of the Holy Spirit will reach across Jordan. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, though, none of that will happen. You'll be thrown over in the dungeon of the fifth dimension, and there ain't nobody going to be there to care how you feel. But boy, before the foundation of the world, God set this plan up that when a saint did go home, he had everything prepared and ready for him. So thank God for that. Amen. That's a God we serve. That's not a God that says, oops, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place. Or no, he knew exactly what day. He knew exactly what hour. He knew exactly what time that Brother Ray needed to go home. His journey was done. It was finished. And he didn't need to be here anymore because God saw that he was finished. But we do pray for the family of Brother Ray. And also, this Sunday, there'll be a love offering taken for Brother Ray and his family to help with some of the funeral expenses. So get your cookie jars out and bring some money for Brother Ray's family. Amen. So we'll do that this Sunday, a love offering for the family. Also, Brother Bob will be preaching next Wednesday. All right, you got that on the calendar, so I'll go ahead and announce it. I like that calendar. Whoever idea, that was a good idea. Thank you. We're going to postpone Sunday school until May the 9th. For those of you, Sister Rachel's going to be gone, Sister Monica's going to be gone, so I don't want substitutes to start the first day of the thing, so we'll start on May the 9th, which will be the second Sunday in May. We'll start back with our Sunday school class. Now, we have everything situated pretty much for the children to the young adults, but my Sunday school class, we're still going to have to do some work because it'll be really crowded in there if most people come that have come before. Okay, so we're going to do that. Also, remember, June the 17th, 18th, 19th will be the Father's Day weekend trip for all of us fathers. Brother Chris Long, Brother Ronnie Long will be with us. And then on July the 3rd and 4th, we'll have our 50th anniversary here at the church. Brother Jewel Forney will be preaching Saturday night. And then Brother Mike Oltig will be doing Sunday morning service. And then we'll have a dinner, catered dinner after that. Right? Okay? So just remember that, keeping you. You say, that's a long way off. It's April. Middle of April. Let's go ahead and give Brother Dale a hand clap because his birthday is Friday. We don't want to do it after. We want to do it before. Amen. Be 81 years young. Thank God for that. Amen. All right, I think that's it. And then we'll have cake and ice cream after Sunday service for that. So keep those things in your heart. There's not an announcement for Brother Ray's anything at the moment. But Sister Mary and them are going to be here for a few weeks. So they're going to make those pretty soon. We'll let you know. So if you got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews again. Hebrews 9. And continue on. And then there's still something in that sixth dimension that I'm running around, going around Horeb or somewhere because I can't get it right. So we'll stab at it until we do. We'll kill somebody. We'll kill a height until we get this thing done. All right? So let's pray before we get started. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Being, Lord, a little bit of sadness in our heart for our Brother Ray, Lord, knowing that pew will be empty there along with Brother Dick right here up front, Lord, and being wonderful cheerleaders. But, Lord, we've only lost him for a moment because you've got him over there on the other side, that young man running down through the hills of glory to that sixth dimension, praising God with all the other saints that are there waiting on us to come to a place. Father, may we come to that place. Be with us and lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. And may the day, Lord, hasten that we are able to see them again. Lord, not ever to be old again, not ever to have an ache or a pain, not have to worry about this, that, or the other, But Lord, we'll just walk down through the streets of glory, Father, for an eternity. But Lord, we've got work to do on this side. We've got to fight a battle. We've got to take this kingdom by force, you told us while you were here. And we got to press the battle, fight as hard as we can. We'll lose a soldier here or there, but we are already victorious. We've already won the war. We've just got a few battles that we need to fight. Father, forgive us of our sins. Bless this day, Lord. You be the active participant in this service. Be with the ones that are not here, Lord, the ones that are sick. You know who they are. The ones that are sin-sick, Father, we pray that you'd speak to their heart today, Lord. Not a lot of time left, Father, for us to be playing around, Lord. We need to get in or get out. Father, we ask you blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And let's read 1 John 4. This is where we're going to get to a little bit later. And we have known, now this is John, little John's. This is all, John's already back from Patmos. He's already seen the Antichrist. He's already seen the bride taken up into glory. He's already seen the future home come down. So there ain't nothing but love in this old man's heart. He's probably in his 90s by now. He's lived his life. And listen to what he says. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Now listen, that has nothing to do with filial love. That has nothing to do with the love you have on this earth. Nothing. Remember? That love is the love of God. That is agape love. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the new birth in your soul that is loving God. I'll read a quote here in a little while. You can't love with this thing. You can't love God with any of this. Amen? All right? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Who is the he? Jesus Christ. So heirs and joint heirs. He overcame on this earth, you and I. He didn't overcome in heaven. He overcame on earth. Amen? Sure, he overcome as Michael the prince, but as Jesus Christ our Savior, our joint heir, our Boaz, he overcame down here. Amen? For me and you. There is no love, no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. That's agape love. That is not filial love. If a man say, I love God, now watch, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. That cuts it right there. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. But we're going to continue in background just for some of the new ones, some of the ones that haven't been here. We're going to go back to and see that, read Ephesians 1, verse 1. I hope you're not getting tired of this, because I can read Ephesians 1 all day long and keep reading it all over again. Amen. Because of what? It's the eternal word of God. And if you can't stand to read it, then that spirit that you got in you ain't going to the other side. Well, it may go to the other side, but it's not going to where Brother Ray's at. Right? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So, now listen, like I said before, according to God's mind, this thing is set, dried, and done. It is predetermined. But not that he pulled you through a tube. He predetermined because he foresaw by foreknowledge, and we're going to read that here in just a minute. God said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, what? He saw us, look, he saw us holy and without blame before him in agape, not filio. Amen? Right here, in agape, not in filio. A lot of love that we have for God, that people in this world have for God, is filial love. Because if they don't have the new birth, they can't love God without the new birth. You can't. You can love everything else, but you cannot love God without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You cannot love God. You don't know how to... That love is different than filial love. Because filial love will take you to lust, which will take you... You notice, I was thinking about this yesterday. And I think I was telling some of the brothers. We look and we see people leaving the message. And we see people that are now condemning the message. And we see people that are questioning the message. Questioning? Questioning the message, leaving the message. And I told the brothers, and I hope you agree with me. And I'm not raising this church up to any level. I'm just telling you what God's done. When you have good, solid teaching, that will not sit in a congregation. That thing will leave. But now you can shout and you can love God with your woo, with your feelings and your emotions, and you can be in love with Him. But what Brother Brown say you're doing? You're actually in love with the devil. Am I right? Because the Bible says He'll give them a strong delusion and let them believe a lie. But you take any church and any preacher that's been a strong teacher and had a strong teaching ministry and had ministers that come in that have a good strong teaching ministry, you don't see splits in the church. You, oh, sure, we got problems. We're family. But not the problems like others, like questioning marriage and divorce, questioning the seals, questioning the Daniel 70 weeks, questioning whether the cloud was there or not there. But with good, solid teaching, you can rest assured on one thing. You've got agape love, and that agape love is going to have to coincide with the Word. Amen? Amen? Because filial love will take you off every time. Why? You look at, and you be careful. I'm telling ministers too, we need to all be careful. Why do Brother Brown say money, women, and popularity was the three things a minister had to watch out for? Money, stimulation, women, and popularity. Now that has nothing to do with God. Right? But you watch and be careful, because you don't want to ever get yourself, because you have an anointing on you, ministers, because that's what we're doing. We're taking a female bride and we're making love to a female bride in spirituality, bringing them to the head church, I mean the head person, the head of the church, Christ, not to ourselves, to Christ. But if you don't, if you have filial love instead of agape love, where's it going to take you? It's going to take you downward to that lust and then filth and all that that Brother Branham will talk about in a minute. So be careful. Even with the Holy Ghost, listen, you can be deceived, but listen, you won't be deceived long if you're under a good teaching ministry or you hear a good teacher or you hear a good sermon from somebody that strikes to your heart. But if you just love with just regular filial love, anything, like Brother Dale says, you get him. I told Brother Chris about this and he laughed. Brother Dale said, you get them in with a cheeseburger, you can get them out with a hot dog. In other words, if you can gather people in and feed them, and then the next guy can feed them, and they'll go to the next church. You understand what I mean? Right. But if you feed them the sincere milk of the Word to begin with, and then you feed them some meat, they'll either choke on it and leave, or they'll learn to eat. Right, Brother Luis? Where's Luis at? He's in the back. Brother Luis, yep. Amen? And right? He'll testify to that. You just got to sit here long enough to be able to get some teeth so you can chew on it instead of choking on it. Amen? But listen, this message, the mandate of this message is not us to stay babies. The reason we've been here 50 or 60 years is because there are so many questions. There are so many babies. There are so many milk drinkers. People that need an emotion, that need somebody to shout, that need somebody they need. Needy people have filial love. Not agape love, because you get everything you need from this Word right here. You get everything from the teaching of this Word and the reading of your Bible and doing your daily devotion. That's where you get fed from. I didn't know I was going this way, but we're heading in that direction. Because filial love, listen, filial love has to go backwards. It can't go forward. When you go from filial love, when you get to agape love, you got the love of God and you can't go back the other way. Now, that doesn't mean you can't love your wife and love your family and love. But listen, if they're not believers, that's why the Bible says two can't walk unless they agree. Agape love and filial love will walk a certain way. But somewhere that's got to separate. They've got to. Unless they both get agape love. And then when you both get agape love, then you can have agape love and super filial love. Because you know how to love if you get the love of God. See what I mean? I'm going to have Ephesians and we're still preaching on something a little different. I love Ephesians. But listen, it's a requirement for us to study. It's a requirement for us to know these things. We've been around the message, like I said before. We got every message in a little piece like an MP3 player that you can put in your pocket. There's no excuse for you to not to listen. There's no excuse for you not to listen to archive messages and all the different things that you're, what, you're privileged to have. And not only here. Not really. Not only here. But this is my home church, so this is where I get, this is where my roots are, so this is where my tree gets fed. Amen. Having predestinated us into the adoption. See, we got to come to adoption. Speaking terms. Speaking. Where we can speak, the prophet said, and it will happen. Glory. Having predestinated us unto that, he predestinated a group of people to come to adoption, that God can use you, that you can drive the car, that you can even, now you can, as we're going to look at in just a minute if we get to it, you can fly an airplane. Then now listen, and we'll read it in just a minute, but think about this. Think about how we should have come up in this message of the hour, horse and buggy. Oh, yeah. Dad and I go to Kentucky to preach for Brother Byler or some of them, and they've got a huge Amish, huge. I mean, they've even got a lane for the, because you can see the results of the horses down the lane. But they're heading to church at 25 miles an hour. Well, they're still in that part, but you know what? We go by them at 65 miles an hour, and we get to church faster than they do. But then guess what? It's like I said about Chuck Yeager. You go to an airplane. It's different from driving a car. You can't just get in an airplane and drive an airplane. What a disaster. But now you can drive a car, right? And if you want to drive a race car, if Sterling was here, he'd tell you, you got to have a lot more coordination. You got to have a lot quicker reflexes. You got to have a lot, because you're what? You're running at a higher speed. Now, what about an astronaut, though? So he's got this great big, I was thinking about it the other day, that big old 7, whatever it was, that I took to the Philippines. That thing was way bigger than this building with the wingspan and everything. And I thought, one man is driving that thing. He's got the controls. Now, there's other, you know, he's got a co-pilot and he's got a navigator, but there's one dude up there with that stick in his hand. He's got 400 people behind him with about 8,000 gallons of fuel. Two engines. Well, that one had four engines. See what I'm saying? But he wasn't nervous, I hope. Well, I got over there and back, so he must have knew what he was talking about. You know why? Because he had been trained. Because he said, okay, I'm going to be a pilot. Right? So he took the required courses to be a pilot. He was able to get into the SEALs. He was able to get into the doctrines that we're supposed to be getting into, because without the opening of the seals, you're going to see, without the opening of the seals, you can't get this message. Sorry. Right? You might get part, but the full adoption has to be the open book. It has to be the opening of the seals. It has to be, you understand that this seal means this and this seal means this. But you take that guy flying that great big airplane, but now look, you wouldn't want to pick him up and just set him over into a Saturn rocket and say, look, go for it, buddy. Same thing. Go, fly. Uh-uh. It'd be a disaster. What? Those astronauts, sure, they're pilots. Most of them are. They start as pilots. But when they become a pilot, they got to take 2 or 3 more years training before they're an astronaut. What am I saying? We are in the astronaut age. We're not in even the airplane age. We're in the astronaut age. We're supposed to be able to handle this 50,000-pound, you know, 200-feet-tall rocket, one person driving it. That's the same way with the message of the hour. We have no excuse. We have no excuse to just sit here with that bewildered look on our face. Maybe you ought to get agape love. Listen, if you have agape love, God will not allow you to just sit there and die. If you have any effort at all, he's got to respond to the word that's being preached. But if you don't have agape love, you just got filial love. Well, I just love to go to church. They're just such good people. That's all right. That's got part to do with it. But is there love of God there? Then the love of God is not just, oh, lovey-dovey, I let's love everybody and I'll hug them and kiss them. Love is corrective. Love has to be strong. Love has to be, love has a judge involved. Hello, somebody. Love has a judge involved. A lot of times when we go into a natural courtroom, you think, there ain't no love in that courtroom. They're screaming and hollering at each other and calling each other names, and the judge is just sitting there. And he's got to decide which one's right. We've got a righteous judge. Remember the prophet of God said, how do we lose? We walk into the courtroom. The judge is our father. The prosecuting attorney is our father. The defense attorney is our father. And the jury is our father. How are we going to lose? But that's if you got agape love, not filial love. God does not have to respond to filial love. The devil can respond to filial love. But you know what? The devil can't respond to agape love because he don't know what it is. That's why Brother Branham says, he said, you got Satan's answer. You got something he cannot have. He never can possess it. He can imitate it to a degree. But like I said before, if you preach the word line by line, word by word, some emotion that's okay and some feeling that's okay. But if you lay that word down word by word, he cannot argue that. Oh yeah, he can argue under filial love, but he doesn't have any agape love to argue with. If you argue, then it's filial and agape arguing with each other, you know? I wish people would see that. Get the Holy Ghost. It'll change your life. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's agape love. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us. He heaped it on top of us in all wisdom and prudence. I'll read to you in just a minute. Watch. What is the mystery of his will? Brother Dale's preaching on it. It's to adopt us. Because they can't understand that. Now, in the natural, we have adoption in the natural, which is a close type. But in the Jewish adoption, which is called bar mitzvah, it's the son that's already born the son. So you got to have the agape love because that puts you in the family. All right? So that's why you receive the spirit of adoption where you cry, Abba, Father. You receive the spirit of adoption, which can take you to adoption, but you can either say, I don't want it or not. Or do like Brother Bram said. He said the Holy Ghost goes back and said, your son is acting up. Your son's not doing the right thing. Your son's not doing this. Your son's not. Your daughter's not doing that. That's the Holy Ghost going back to the Father. But in a natural, in a bar mitzvah, what happens is a kid, the child comes to a certain age, like 12 or 13 years old, and he's able to read in the temple. He's able to go into the temple, read scripture out of the temple, and be able to do certain things that he was not able to do because he had come to a certain place that the Father said, I'm pleased with that. He can do what we have required him to do because bar mitzvah means son of promise. Bar means son. Remember Simon bar Jonah, son of Jonah? So this is the son of the promise. What's the promise? Listen, the promise was to Israel. You're my people. I am going to adopt you. And they were going to do that in a natural. They do it in a natural sense, but they never came to adoption in a spiritual sense because God had to put them away. You and I come to adoption by coming into the family and then the Holy Ghost saying, hey, he's got that virtue down pretty good. Or he's got some work on that knowledge and temperance and patience. But you know what? It's required in this age for us to go up that statue of perfect man. So as Dad said before, it's not a, I was thinking about this while he was preaching it. You know, when you go to college, even when you go to high school, but mostly in college, if you're going to be a doctor, or you're going to be a lawyer, or you're just going to be get a bachelor, or you're going to get an associate's degree, there are certain classes that you have and required to take, right? Right, Anna? Required. Then you have electives or fill-ins that really doesn't have a lot to do with your degree, but if you're going to go to school, you got to learn this certain thing over here, right? Well, see, that's the way with us. We've got there certain requirements that me and you have to have. In this end time, there is requirements. Adoption is a requirement. Now, elective could be the seven spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues and all the... See, that's electives. Because listen, you might not ever speak in your tongues a day of your life, but you're still a child of God. You're still born again. So that's an elective course that you can take if you want to. But the main course of this is that God needs somebody to yield themselves to Him enough to where He cannot just speak to, but through.
Right.
Amen? Not just to. It's good for God to speak to you, but if we're elected for God to speak through us, then listen, it's got to happen because on Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. So He foreknew a group of people.
Right.
He knows who they are because they come from the mind of God.
Right.
And we'll get to this in just a minute. Remember, that Genesis 1:26 man came from the seventh dimension.
Yeah.
God alone, remember? God's the only one up there. You say, well, now He's up. Pay attention.
Right.
Genesis 1:26 man wasn't formed down here on the earth.
Right.
It was formed in the mind of God in glory in a dimension that Adam could move and have no limitations at all.
Right.
But then we had to be put in the first three dimensions because God knew we were going to fall. He knew when we got put in flesh that we were going to fall. But remember, what's it going to come back to? That Genesis 1:26 man is standing on earth today.
Amen.
Just like it was in the Garden of Eden.
Glory.
Just like it was in the Garden of Eden. Now, you got to decide whether you're going to be bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Because that Eve's part of it, too, remember. Eve's the bride. For whom He did know, He also foreknow. He also did predestinate to what? Look, to be conformed to the image of His Son. So you were conformed, or you were formed in the womb of your mother, but you had to be conformed. A lot of us had to be reformed. I don't believe in reformation. I mean reformed, you know, reshaped. Into what? The image of His Son. Listen, if you got the new birth, you're into the image of that Genesis 1:26 man, which is the children of God, the family of God. God is your daddy. So you've got that genetic makeup. But now look, but when He put that sixth dimension in place, He knew that's who would go there. And He set that place up. Now, seventh dimension, He's already up here. But now, where are you and I going to go? We'll read it. We're going to come back. If you know, Brother Ray and Brother Dick and Brother Tatum, all the different ones, Brother Richard Marlowe, they're over there waiting on us. Now, listen, according to my Bible, according to the prophet's message, they don't eat over here. They say, we don't eat over here. Right? Don't drink, don't eat. It's just kind of a blissful place. But that's got to come back here so they can pick up their body connected back to the earth that God cursed. That cuckabur is going to be laying in the ground, but when that transforming power of God sheds that away, but when they come back and pick up their body, it's not going to be a cuckabur anymore. It's going to be wheat germ. But remember, you and I have another commission. We haven't went over there. We're standing right here. This cuckabur is going to be changed into a wheat, body, spirit, and a soul. Somebody! It's going to happen here in this dimension. Because this will be a live message of resurrection. And remember, we're not looking for a rapture. I'm looking for a resurrection. Because the resurrection, the Bible says, we which are alive and remain, they will be brought up first. then we which are alive and remain to be changed and caught up to meet them in the air. We got to get them here first before there's a rapture. You can look for a rapture if you want to, but there's about three of them. Which one you want to be a part of? Right? I want to be a part of the one where I don't have to be. I want to be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye on this side. That's a requirement for somebody. Somebody's got to reach that spot. Right. Abraham, doesn't matter how old you are. You say, boy, I think Zach will probably be one of them that takes a body change because he's just 20. Shut up. 21. Got shoes older than you. 21, that's what we're coming back to. But, you know, we think that. We go, man, if we were standing in the Bible and we were going, all right, who's going to take a body change? Well, there'd be the young people over there. No, that'd be easy. But what about somebody like Brother Boyd or myself or Dad and somebody like that? And you go, man, nah, they too old. Well, was Abraham too old? He was 99. They ain't none of us got close to that yet when he was changed. But I hope you get this tonight. That's a requirement. We have requirements. We have electives that we can do, and we can have the peripherals around the message and all these different things. But and I don't say waste our time on it because the gifts are not wasted, but why would you jump over here, though, and take 12 elective courses and never take your required courses?
Right.
You never graduate. Amen? Does everybody get my analogy? You'll never graduate. If you sit over here and say, no, I'm going to take basketball, knitting, weaving, I'm going to take book reading and cartoon drawing, and I'll make it. I'll become a doctor. Doctor of what? But that guy that sits over here and says, man, I got to take biology 101, 102, 103. I got to take anatomy. I gotta cut a cadaver open, and I gotta look inside this human body and make sure that I don't fall asleep or fall. Just fall. You understand what I mean? I think what Brother Brown's always said, though, we've majored on the minor. Is that not a quote? We've majored on the minor. Everybody likes to go to these meetings and have these good old feelings and jumping up and down, which that's fine. But what are you going to do when you come back over here and you got to take your normal courses? That's okay. You can take the electives all you want to, but don't stay over here and say, this is it. I'll be a doctor of crayons and coloring books. No. If you're going to be a doctor, you need to learn how to use knives and forceps and all them other different things. Same way with the gospel. We need to get in this thing, and like I said before, we need to let what we got out. Listen, even if you're not born again, you definitely need to let out what you got inside of you. Amen? And listen, there's a lot of letting out to do with these. Remember the doors indoors? You open the door and let the bad out. You open the door and let the whatever's bothering you out. We've got to start doing that. If we don't do that, we're going to stay here. We're going to keep doing funerals. You say, how, Brother Wade? Listen, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That elephant of death, we just keep on gnawing at him. Just keep on chewing at him. But by foreknowledge, he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. And the rest of the scripture says, how in the world can we lose? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? So let's not worry about any of that, okay? Now, let's look for the dimensions just for a second. We'll cut this a little short because we know one thing's for sure. We've already read this quote 20 times, but look, how can I take a cucumber and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible. The only way it can do is because the inside has been transmitted from a cucumber wheat, or a cucumber, to a germ called wheat life. Now, we know what that is. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the agape love that we must have to carry on our Christian experience. Do you know most of the Christian world is deceived? Sorry. Most of the Christian world is deceived. believing a lie, and the Bible says we'll be damned by it. And that includes many in this message. Now, I don't mean new birth. You got the new birth, but now some people can be deceived. If you stay in a deception, that's the whole problem. Watch, you watch this. That's why God has let this thing go so long. 50, 60 years after the prophet preached us into a future home, we're still here. We're still dying. We're still wondering whether, I was thinking, you know, I read this quote again where Brother Brown was talking about going across the curtain of time. He said, with my hand on the Bible, I'll meet you at the day of judgment. He said, this is what happened. Now, what about these people that are denying that Brother Brown's even a prophet anymore, denying that he brought us the message, you know? He was wrong here and he was wrong there. Well, I agree with him. If he was wrong there, he's wrong everywhere. But he wasn't. How can a man stand behind this desk? You see what them people are doing when they deny the prophet of God in this end time? They deny everything he ever said. He said, I'll meet you at the day of judgment. Exactly. He said, how many times have I told you something and it come to pass? Too big of a witness, folks, for me to be deceived in that part. Amen. I might be deceived somewhere else, but I'm not going to be deceived on that part. When he went across that curtain of time, I believe that man went across the curtain of time. Now, why did God take him over there if he was a liar? Remember what Brother Brown said? He said, I can't say nothing until he's here. He said, because you may ask me something one time, and he said, I may get it wrong. And he said, you would lose confidence in me then. Well, now, how many millions of the time was it right? How many times was it wrong? Zero wrong, millions of times right, okay? I'll take that. I'll rest my soul that Jesus Christ saved my soul, but I'll rest my statue of a perfect man on that man bringing me a message that I can take a body change without death. That's what he brought me. He brought me to a place that, you know what he done? All them denominations started looking at the electives. Cabbage down. What'd they cabbage down on? Electives. They cabbage down on the minor stuff. If they would have said, okay, this is the Holy Ghost, this is the beginning, and then carried on, but that wasn't their message. Their message was to stop. The message that Brother Branham was trying to get them and bring them over here. Say, look, there's more. Sure, there's elected, but if you're going to be an astronaut, you can't sit over there and play with Tonka toys. Or what are you, them Legos? It's nice. Hey, don't laugh. I've seen some beautiful things made out of Legos. But try to get anyone to fly out of the universe with it. That's what we've been doing, though. We've been listening to kids putting Legos together and saying, I think we can fly this thing out of here. And then missing the real astronaut. The true message of the hour, where Brother Branham brought us a message that cannot be denied. It can be. You can question anything. They questioned Jesus. Thought he was a devil. Said he hung around too much with sinners and prostitutes. And he was a wine bibber. Boy, he had a good testimony, didn't he? But look who was doing that, though. It was the devil in those people that was doing that. Amen? So anyway, that's sweet life. So light, time, and matter is the first three dimensions. We're going to skip to this real quick. Fourth dimension, we know that was science. But I want you to read. Let's read that one more time in questions and answers. Number two quote, if you don't mind, brothers. Number two. Two quote. Right past. There you go. Because look, why did he come on the seals? We've been over this again and again and again. Why did he come up to the seals? He come up to the six, after the sixth seal, he comes up to questions and answers. Six seals has opened. He's getting ready to preach the seventh seal. He says, we're going to have questions and answers. And then they don't get it. All right? Don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian because, you see, you take yourself away from God. If you can understand it, this is that third pull. Now, what is the third pull? The third pull is the opening of the Word. Amen. The third pull is going into a higher realm that Brother Brown said it cannot be impostered. It can't be mimicked. He said it's God alone. That third pull is not to the devil. It's to God's children. Because it's the opening of the Word, which the devil could follow the first two. The devil could follow those first two and imitate the first two. The hand and the telling of the things. But now that third pull, when he moved into that, he said, look, you should have caught that the other day. so they didn't catch it. You remember, there'll be no impersonation like there was of the other two, see? So that's as far as you should know. Now, just remember that you see now there's something taking place in this room. And there's something here. There's actually in this room angels, voice of God. But how do you can't, if you can't hear the natural voice without something to send it out, he's talking about radio, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice? Now, listen to this. Now, you might make believe, look, that somebody's singing this certain song, and that's what the problem is. There's been a lot of make believe. Preaching doctrines that's not even right. That's make believe. That's not true belief. He's coming back on a horse. He's coming back on a cloud. He's got to shoot a black bear. He's got to... Lord have mercy. Come on, people. Get some spirituality about you. Brother Branham will come back into this dimension, but it's when somebody on this side will come to a place of full adoption, and God will have to honor what they said. Just like when Jesus stood and said, Lazarus, come forth. Brother Branham said, the same loud voice that brought Lazarus from the dead is in me and you today. So, we're looking for a resurrection, or are we looking at the resurrection? Amen. Now, look. Now, you might make believe that somebody is singing this certain song that might not even be there, see? But when it actually strikes the crystal that it's supposed to strike, what's he saying? The crystal's not there. In 1963, 3/24/1963, those people that are sitting in that room, now, he didn't call them not Christians. He didn't say they weren't Christians. He said, you're not getting what I'm preaching. Amen? But when it actually strikes the crystal that it's supposed to strike, then it gives a true interpretation and vindicates it by showing the picture. See what I mean? Now, the Spirit of God, when it speaks through the true word, it vindicates itself to show itself that it's right. So now, we now have the right crystal here. We now have the right diamond cut right now, today, in this building and around the world. We have the right crystal because he said when it strikes that crystal. So it's got to strike something. What strikes it? The voice, the vibration. Coming from God, it strikes that crystal and then it vindicates it by showing the picture. In other words, it vindicates it by opening the bride up so everybody can see who she is. Everybody got that? So to me, that's another thing. They stayed in elective. They stayed with the shouting, the speaking in tongues. And then when Brother Branham left the scene, they said, oh, he was right in his when he was shouting and speaking in tongues and healing the sick and raising the dead. But when he was preaching his doctrine, when he was teaching you how to be a doctor and you were over here saying, no, that's not right over there. Why? Because it was against what their curriculum. Everybody got what I'm saying? They forgot the curriculum. The curriculum is to be a doctor you got to have. And I think they even give you an outline, don't they? They give you an outline. If you want to be whatever, this is what you got to take. And for 4 years or 6 years, you got to take this right here to be whatever you want to be. So there's a requirement. When Brother Branham opened the seals, there was our requirement. We are required to live under an open book. We are required to hear. Brother Branham said, we are now what? Messiahs. Right. We are now little eagles. We live off revelation. We don't live off presumption. We don't live off, like he said here. Now, you might make believe that somebody's singing this certain song. Well, that's what a false doctrine is. It's just make believe some certain song, right? God didn't bring that if it's false. Never has God brought a false revelation. So if you hear false revelation, it's not of God. Get out of that college. The curriculum is wrong. So the fifth dimension, we know what happened. The Brother Brown looked in the fifth dimension where the sinner goes. And remember, it's not a burning hell. Brother Luis covered that real good Wednesday. It's not a burning hell. It's the place that you're put there. And then as we contend, and I don't think it's presumption, that they don't get a body change. Why would they get a body change and be back young again and they didn't even believe in God and they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? All happened was is their old dirty soul just moved over into a fifth dimension, and I don't believe nobody helped them across either. They probably drug them across. But could you imagine? Though, look at the sincerity, though. I want to stop right here just a second. You take those people that are Muslims that kill themselves for their religion, and they want to kill as many as they can with them. But they are guaranteed 72 virgins when they get into this dimension over here. Because, see, they believe in afterlife. I hope they do, because that's what they believe. And then you've got, you got a pope that is the vicar of God. Right? Supposedly, when they vote him in, that the Lord Jesus moves into the pope, and he's the vicar, he's the spokesman, he's the one that you got to listen to. Right? Yeah. Right? I mean, come on, study the Catholic Church. If you really study that, supposedly that spirit moves into that pope. Well, there's one moves into him, all right. Now, he thinks he's the vicar, he thinks he's the spokesman of God. So when he dies, he obviously must be going to go over here into a place. I don't know if popes go to purgatory or not. I don't know if they get a free bypass or what. They get a free pass? I don't know. But you see why silly it is? But can you imagine as soon as that Muslim... Why am I saying this? Because you better lay your soul on something too. He's laid his soul that when he pulls that switch... And he gets blown into a million pieces and he blows up whoever else, who radical person they are, that when he steps over into his sixth dimension, there's going to be 72 virgins, palm trees, and grapes for an eternity. What a surprise he's going to get. What a surprise the Pope's going to get when he steps across the curtain of time and there's no purgatory there. There's no place to pray him out of. Right? Because that's what they believe. They believe that you go to a place of holding. Then they can either pray you out or you pay enough money to get you on into whatever they call their sixth dimension. But see, that's all presumption. We've had a prophet go beyond the curtain of time. Glory. Said he had been to hell. Said he had been to heaven. I believe he was in both places. Because he come back and showed it because he was an astronaut. He came and showed it to me and you. So that, number one, you can take the fear away that even if something does happen, we fall dead of a heart attack or anything happens to us, that we know that across the curtain of time, number one, you're not going to want to come back. I would assume, I'm assuming here, that them 72 virgin people and all them popes, they want to get back here because they know they did something wrong this way. But now Brother Ray's over there now. I know he loves Sister Kathy and he loves his kids, but there's no way he want to come back. And there's no way we want him to come back before his time. But he knows, though, he's coming back. Because we can read the Bible. We can see it in the Bible. And we can see it in the prophet's message. That we have an assurity. That we don't have just a hope. I know the Bible uses hope and faith together. But I hope Grandma made it. I hope Brother Ray made it. I hope. You know, if your hope's wrong, there's only two places to go.
Right.
But we have an assurity. The sixth dimension is Christ. Let's go to the sixth dimension. Number five, please. The saints, dead saints, are, look, he changed that. He said dead saints or resting saints. Because remember, death's been destroyed. For a Christian, death has been destroyed. There is no death. Brother Ray didn't die. He left his body.
Right.
And his body quit breathing. And the cells that had all that firing mechanism that made him 98.6 degrees, you know that's what your theophany is doing? Hello, somebody. Your theophany is keeping your body at 98.6 degrees, or 96.8, whatever it is, 98.6. Because when your theophany leaves your body, it goes cold. It's your firing mechanism. Listen, even as a sinner, you got a theophany. Everybody's got a theophany. A soul. Everybody's got a soul.
Right.
And that soul's either going to go one place or the other.
Amen.
And Brother Brown said, you know, he's talking about paradise and all the different places. We'll read it in just a minute. It's what you're familiar with. It's where your soul's going to go.
Exactly.
So See, Brother Branham went into the fifth dimension now in a type. He went into the fifth dimension, not as a sinner dead. But he went there and saw that place, and he said, horrible place. Don't want to go there. Do not touch the place. But then when he goes into the sixth dimension, he said, leave me alone. Don't want to go back. Do I have to leave here? But which place was he more familiar? He saw them people in hell, and he never recognized a one of them. But when he stepped in that sixth dimension, he said, oh, there's Brother so-and-so. There's my wife that died. There's my baby. There's my... Hey, even his repossessed chair was there. Think of that. But Brother Branham, the angel said, everything you loved, he loved that chair. But it, remember, they was only like, goodness, you read his life story. It was only like, a dollar a month? Hope had bought it for him and was making payments on it, a dollar a month, and they couldn't make the payments. Yet he walked in one day and it was gone. They had repossessed it. Right. Well, he said, I love that chair. Well, guess what? The chair was me, the dog, the horse, and his chair. Right. Yeah. You say, well, that was just for Brother Branham. No. No, that's for all of us. The resting saints, look, who is completely work finished on earth and has entered into rest with Christ under the altar beautifully. You can parallel it like a wonderful dream that you don't want to wake up from. But now look, he said it ain't a dream. It's natural. It's real. You know, Brother Ray's more real now than he was when we saw him for 80 years on the earth. We got to get rid of this thinking. Our thinking is all poor. No, man, he's shouting on the hills. He's 20 years old. I want to see those pictures of him when he was... He showed me a picture one time, or Kathy did, when they got married. A dapper little fella, you know. And that little dapper fella's standing over there because the cuckabird's in the ground. But they'll meet back up. We have a promise. They'll meet right back up. Listen, if Brother Branham, if Brother Branham looked at Mita and she said, Brother said, honey, you've lost all your hair. He said, I ain't lost one. Every hair I ever had. Because when he went back across the curtain of time, he said, what'd he do? He put his hand, that's the first thing he did. He's like, I'm bald-headed down here, but he's like, I got hair. He didn't lose one of them, Brother Zach. God's got them all waiting on you there, and me there, and everybody else. You don't have to worry about it. But
amen.
21 years old. But remember, Your spirit is going to be familiar with one of them two places for what you are on this side. You can't change it once you go and say, no, I think I'll jump over here or go over here. See, that's what the lie of the devil is, even in the Catholic Church. Well, if you get into this dimension, we're going to pray, and then all of a sudden you're going to wind up in this one. Come on, people. We know that's wrong, but look. It is deceiving about 50% of the population of this world. They rest their soul on that. That the Pope is Jesus Christ incarnate and that they can go into this. They can live like the devil. Why do you think that gangsters and the mafia are all Catholic? Father, forgive me, I'm going to kill 7 people tomorrow. Right? Oh, say 3 Hail Marys and we'll spring some water on you. And if you get into purgatory, we'll pray you out. You see what I mean? That's religion, though, folks. That's religion. That's what religion will do for you, too. It'll lie to you. This is not. There's not one lie in this message. There's not one lie in this Bible. You live it, God's got to do it. He's obligated to his word. He's not obligated to nothing else. Paradise. Remember, the witch of Endor brought up Samuel. We'll go to quote 6 and 7, save time. Go to 1 Samuel 28. We noticed it. In verse 14 says, an old man came up. So even in paradise, they weren't changed like we're talking about changing in the sixth dimension. What happened was is they passed away and they moved over into another dimension like they were. And then even... You know, you see in the Old Testament, I'm reading in Samuel, the 1 and 2 Samuel and the Kings, The angel keeps telling David, said, you'll be gathered with your people. He says, Jacob, you'll be gathered with your people. Well, Brother Branham was gathered with his people.
Glory.
We will, if Brother Ray is gathered under Brother Branham's message, he's not there with Paul's group. He's not there with Irenaeus' group. He's not there with Pentecost's group. He's there with the bride of this age. Under our prophet messenger, he's moved into that dimension part that was made for him because you know why? His spirit wouldn't be familiar in Luther's age. His spirit wouldn't be familiar in Wesley's age. Wasn't in Pentecost, although he may have come up through Pentecost. But his spirit was familiar, and that's where his spirit went, to where what? The Word and the Word connected. The Word that Brother Branham gave us, the Word that we got, that's what's pulling us to that dimension where he is, because even the angel says, you'll be gathered with your people. He said, Branham's? I said, no, you're converts. Amen? So now look. So it was an old man in paradise, but not in the sixth dimension. So let's continue on perfect love real quick. Everybody all right? Say amen. Present stage of my ministry, number 8. I believe I was caught up in the sixth dimension, looking back down here and could see back. See, the sight isn't exactly with the eyes. That's earthly. But sight is a greater thing than the sight that they have there. Their contact is far beyond any contact that our natural senses would contact. Then number 9, let's read on down a little further where it says, what is this? Let's go scroll it on up. The voice says what? This is perfect love. It said, isn't that what you spoke the Holy Spirit was? Now look, not perfect love, filio. Perfect love, agape love. The love of God, the love of Jesus Christ that was sown in the people's heart. I said, yes, and this is perfect love. And what did I say? Perfect love casts out fear. And you read all those quotes about that. We'll continue on, kind of hurry through. Let's go to number 10. He explains this really well. Because we know about, he'll be gathered with your people. Everybody's read where Brother Branham says, the angel says, you'll be gathered with your people, and then you're going to have to give an account, and then you're going to have to come back here and pick up your body. And then that's another thing. I see that some people's run across. We preached here for years. There's people that believe in this message, that you're number one, you're going to get a new body totally different from this one. And they also believe, one preacher told me with his own mouth, that the Bible says that when you walk out on the ashes of the wicked, that you're going to walk out in the millennium on your own ashes, which means your body's not going to make it. Your body's going to be burned up with the rest of the world because it was wicked. He just don't know. This thing don't sin. It's that inside guy. But we're going to be connected with this body. Even that woman told him in the quote before that, we don't have to go back to it. But she said, we got to go back. Look, I'll read it. Don't go back there. And she looked at me and said, Brother Branham, Jesus will come someday. Then we'll go back to earth. Then we'll receive our glorified body. Then we'll live together forever. In other words, you're going to come back down and pick up your body. And it's going to be changed. That's a miracle. It's not a miracle to just come back and say, I'm eternal. No, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was resurrected in the body that he died in. But it was what? Made new. I can't believe that people have not read the future home enough to read where the Bible says, and all denominations believe that this earth is going to be totally annihilated because of where it says heaven and earth will pass away. Remember, Brother Branham had to go back and tell you what that word pass away was. It wasn't that it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be burnt off. So the framework of this earth is going to be right here where we're at. Now, what are you a part of? Somebody say it. That's real weak. You're going to be a part of this earth. You're a part of the earth. Your body is a part of this earth. Amen? But when God cursed the earth, he cursed Adam, he cursed the earth. We have to put that what? We have to plant it in corruption. But the Bible says we'll raise it, that body, in incorruption. To me, that's a miracle. To me, that is the total plan of redemption, that he can take your body that came the wrong way. It came totally contrary. He can take that same body and change it because of what's inside of you. To me, that's a miracle. To me, that's what the devil can't understand. Because he's looking at you going, how can you do that? I'm not worried about me doing it. That thing inside of me is going to do it. That's agape love. When God can change your vile body, the Bible says. Philippians. He'll change this. What a miracle. And change it back to 20 years old. You got that right, sister. You wait till you get 61, you'll say it a lot louder than that. Now look, does everybody understand that? Listen, there's certain things that you should know. And that one thing you should know. We're not going to walk out on our own ashes. Huh. We're not going to get a brand new one. It's this body made new. Just same as the earth is going to be burned off. This thing by the Holy Ghost, you've already been burned out inside. He's just going to burn the rest of it off. The first is perfect love. That's God's love. God's love. Pure and unadulterated. The next comes in there is filial love. That's love you have for your wife and your children. The next drops that is lustful love. Now that you see that in the world. They're just doing all kind of stuff. The next is ungodly love. And just goes on down till it's filth. Just keep on perverting. And everything had a beginning, though. Look, had an end. Filial love had a beginning. Lust had a beginning. Filth had a beginning. Agape love did not have a beginning. Let's read that again. What quote number am I on? I've lost my place. Thank you. 10. All right, thank you. And everything that had a beginning has an end, and all that will be taken right away and no remembrance of it at all, and come right back to the perfect someday. And the only way, listen, Adam and Eve walked in a garden, man and woman, naked, whatever you want to call it, naked, and they didn't bother them a bit. They had a Holy Ghost veil over their eyes that you and I are supposed to have. Because that's our conversion. It brings us back to agape love and takes us. Sure, we still have to have filial love. But that's not from that very inside guy. That very inside guy is turned back to agape love. To where Adam and Eve could walk in the cool of the day in the garden and be totally naked and be there together and not be sinful and not have any sinful thoughts. Or not have any emotion. Everybody understand what I'm saying? And everything that had a beginning has an end. And all that was taken right away and no remembrance of it at all and comes right back to the perfect someday. And the only way, look, you can't stop down here half of the way and get up here. You've got to be all the way in. Look, trusting, resting completely in the salvation that Jesus gave to you by faith. Look, there's a spirit. Let me read that real slow. There is a spirit of honesty that comes from God. That's the fountain of God. That's honesty. The next is the man will do a good deed for his neighbor. Filial love. The next is the guy, you have to watch him. The next is the guy, he's a thief. The next is the guy's a murderer. Hold up, see how it perverts right on down. But all them things speak of a real. Now watch. Let's read this next one. Everybody all right? Amen. Wednesday night. Middle of the week. Look, the achievement's been proved by science. This is countdown. They showed it out yonder at the World's Fair. We got it, amen. It's being proved everywhere. Astronaut age we're living in. See, it was made up of things which do not appear. See, it was made of something out of heaven. It's God himself here in that sixth dimension. It's the power of God. We've seen, we've been in such a place till we have been lifted up into that dimension. He's talking about going across the curtain of time. Beyond this thing of going to the grave and weeping, this thing of putting the crepe over the doorknob, in other words, the wreath, and saying goodbye forever. Goodbye, Brother Ray. Yeah. We don't know if we'll ever see you again. No, that's not what's going to happen. We don't have a hope we'll see him. We have an assurity that he is in the place that he connected with on this side. Right. Amen? Right. Hallelujah. We done got in the astronaut, sailed off yonder and seen where it at is. It's at and returned back. So listen, folks, listen. If the people are denying that, they need to just go back into the world. How can you get up into how can you get the intelligence of an astronaut? Everybody got this? And then say, well, no, I'm going back to horse and buggy. And then here comes an airplane flying by. And you have no connection to that? Nope, going back horse and buggy. No, there's something pulling me to that. From the horse and buggy, to the automobile, to the airplane, to the astronaut where they can soar in places that we've never been before. And return back, glory, we're going to the home beyond the sky yonder, beyond the reasoning of man. How the old will be transformed in a moment of the twinkling of an eye. We will see them there, old men and women, young again. How do you know? The Bible teaches it. Look, and God shot an astronaut up there. We know what it's all about. Came back. There's no worry about dying. Dying's nothing. Sure, it's living. Yes, sir. It's just getting your feet off the ground so we can go. Oh, how wonderful. All right, let's read this number 12. It's a little bit lengthy, but we're going to read it, and then we may just stop right there. This is this countdown. Look, watch how it happened. Now, I've been preaching on this, and I just wanted you to see the quote where I got it from. Justification, the horse and buggy. Sanctification, what was it? Automobile began to move along. Then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you took off the ground, got your feet off, got up in the air, flying around in the heavenlies with heavenly gifts, speaking in tongues, divine healing. Now look, he's talking about justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he's talking about the Lutherans, the Wesleyans, and the Pentecostals. The Pentecostals did get their feet up off the ground. The Pentecostals did do the shouting. They did do the speaking in tongues. They did have the restoration of the gifts by the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what happened? They did just what I said. They said, this is it. We can't go no higher. This is airplanes as far as we can go. This is it. But there was another group. Because there's a star out yonder that we need to get to, and we can't do it in an airplane. Look. Them that was still in the automobile and still riding the horse and buggy thought that was the strangest thing they'd ever seen. Them people was having a fit. But they got their feet off the ground. God was able to bring the church his achievement when he got a bunch of people standing still long enough that he could pour his spirit into them. The same horsepower that can pulse the horse did the same thing to the automobile and did the same thing to the airplane. And the same Holy Ghost that brought justification to the church, it brought more of it when it brought sanctification and poured it in with the Holy Ghost. Still the same power, right? Brought the same thing and took the church off its feet into the heavenlies. Now, things has changed altogether. See, I could have quit reading that quote right there and it just left you on an airplane. Amen? It just put you on an airplane and you say, oh, this is it, this is great, this is it. Nope, he's not done yet. Thank God for a prophet. Thank God for a prophet! Now things has changed altogether. Now look, same horsepower. Same horsepower. Just more of it. Now things has changed altogether because science is moving on and we're always talking about science. But let's look back and see what our great scientific teachers are doing. Look what God's doing with his church. Scientific teachers. Now we've entered the age, not no more of horse and buggy, not no more of automobile. Now, Brother Brown, wait a minute now. Airplanes as far as we can go. No, not no more of airplanes. Now there's astronauts. Oh my, this is astronaut age. Oh, what a great thing. The horse and buggy was earthbound. But now we are in astronaut age. And so has the church. That's the big swing over that I can't get before the people. But we got the right crystal. Yeah. He wasn't talking to them. He's talking to us. That's the big thing over that I can't get before the people. They've settled down for an airplane. Some of them settled for a horse and a buggy. But God's got an astronaut age. Oh, what an age to live in. No wonder they can't understand it. But you see, where God lets man do something is to show the church that he's doing something. See, we're always trying to bring... Look, now I'm going to read this, and then we'll close, because we know what perfect love is. I'm going to read one more on Christ is revealing his own word, but let's go right here. See, they're always trying to bring the old thing back. What I say, horse and buggy. I can still see that horse and buggy over there. You know, it's a lot easier. You don't have to change oil. You just got to feed the horse. You understand what I'm saying? Going backwards, though. Why would you want to go backwards? When the requirement is an astronaut. See, they're always trying to bring the old thing back and now keep the horse and buggy. It's a relic. Oh, my Lord, it's a relic. It's history. That was all right in its day, but it's past that. Glory, shake hands with the preacher, was all right a long time ago, but that's past now. Denominations live this day out. We're past that now. We're in the astronaut age. Amen. Now I begin to feel religious. Astronaut age, that's what's got the people all turned around. They don't know what to think about these things. They don't know how to get it. Notice, yet, the astronaut age is the same spirit they had. Same Holy Ghost, baptized the Lutherans, Wesleyans, you understand? Now, just like the horsepower was. Now, in this astronaut age, in the natural, there's also the astronaut age in the spiritual. What is it? Then the church from an airplane like the natural has took a higher flight. While that astronaut, there's no airplane going to catch him. He's done gone to where he can't even see an airplane no more. And that's the way God is doing now. Instead of being some little school guy, come out and talk about a certain thing that Dr. So-and-so said years ago. We got eagles, prophets, rising up in the heavenlies, far above the earthbound chicken thought. Only a Kentuckian could say that. A chicken thought. But that's what it is. Horse and buggy. Astronaut age, look, God's proven it. God's proven it. Watch it. Let's watch it right here. Let's read this. Go to number 17. The last quote. I want to read this right here. Christ revealed in his own word, and then magicians get ready to come when I get finished. That Laodicean age, naked, blind, miserable, don't even know it. See, it's out. Look, it's that anointed. Anointed with the real spirit, see, that the Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in his spirit. Watch it now. But his soul is his germ. That germ is the word. Remember, he says that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. That's what's happening to people right now. Because the third pull is what? To the bride, to the church, and the totally lost. We shout that the third pull is for us, but there's two other groups that you better watch out. You're not in that group. Amen? The Holy Ghost can fall upon a man in his spirit, but his soul is his germ. That germ is the word. And how I don't care how much you can preach, how well you do this, and how much you love. Look, that's one of the inlets to the spirit. You can't love with your body. You love with your spirit. That's one of the inlets, and you can love and even love God and still not be right. You can love God with your spirit. He didn't say soul. Listen, your soul, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, cannot produce filial love. Where? Where can it? It's the love of God. Totally inside of you, agape love. You say, well, where do you love? You love with your spirit. Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. That makes me love my wife. Memory, reasoning, conscious, affection. That's not God's affection. That's affection for your wife and then for your kids and then for your grandparents and all these different things. You say, oh, my, no. You either love God with your soul or you love the devil. There's no loving mom and daddy with your soul. Everybody got that? Amen. It's one or the other. You either love God or you love the devil. You either got filial love on the outside. Got it? Outside realm. Spirit realm. Love God. Now, that's not, that love right there is not agape love. That's filial love. You can't love with agape love and be wrong. Because he is agape love. You got agape love. They got to come together. But filial love can't stand in front of agape love. Because at the white throne judgment, those people that come to the white throne judgment, they're going to stand in what? They're going to be given account of what they do, the works that they do. Filial works. Not agape works. Because agape works is going to be standing in judgment. Because it's the love of God. They're going to have to give an account in their feet. God, I loved you. I loved you. I loved you. Remember what the Bible says? The Bible says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew. K-N-E-W. Not knew like I knew him. K-N-E-W. K-N-E-W is like Adam knew, had relations with Eve. He knew her. Jesus said, you never had a personal relationship with me. You just had an experience of an emotion. I'm telling you, that's what's happening to a lot of people. You just get an experience of an emotion and still not be right. You can cast out devils and preach. Aren't we seeing that happening in the end time? Preach like a house on fire on a windy day and be living in adultery. We've seen that happen. It's manifested. We know these people that it's happened. You can cast out devils and preach and do these things, still not be right. Look, this is my last deal, and y'all come on. Jesus said so, said many would come in that day. Look, that word settles it. That's it. The word settles it. It does. Listen, there is no filial love in the Word of God. It's all agape love. Because it's the love of God, what? Shed abroad in our hearts by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand to our feet. Come on, musician. You make sure that you make sure that you make sure you're loving God with agape love. And if you love him with agape love, he has to respond because it's his own self responding to his own self. Amen. Brother Brown said, when the word meets the word. When the word meets the word. So when agape meets agape, you know one thing's for sure. You can give your life for your kids. You can give your life for your family. You can give your life for your wife. But you can't ever transfer that life into another person and make them eternal. But God can. He's already done it. At Calvary, that's what he done. He released the life so that you and I can get that agape love. Listen, we all got to live in filial love. We love our mother and our wife and all. We love them with godly love. If you're a godly person. But without agape love, you can't love God. Right. You can do all this love. I love, I love, I love, I love, I love. And then you're going to stand before the white throne judgment. And Jesus is going to say, you never loved me like I wanted you to love me. I died for you. What have you done for me? Right. Amen. And that's what Brother Ray accepted whenever he got born again. He accepted that God died for him. Amen. He accepted that love. That there's a man could die called God, Jesus Christ, and could put his life in Ray Gabriel. And then when Brother Ray, when this body couldn't handle it anymore, when this body retired, got tired, couldn't function. Because listen, we're in three dimensions. We still got to function. Our kidneys have to function. Our brain has to function. Everything's got to function. We're not supernatural in our body. We're supernatural in our soul if we're born again. So that supernatural of Brother Ray just stepped over into a it just got faster, stepped right out of that body, never made a cut, never made a sound. Never made a sound, but boy, there was a sound in another dimension that we can't hear, but I just know there's one thing for sure. There was a noise. There was a thunder, all right. When he stepped across that curtain of time, there was a thunder went off. And they said, oh, Brother Ray, we've been looking for you. And then what they said, Brother Abraham said, oh, he's here now. They knew he was coming. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Make sure you have agape love. And to know what agape love is not to read a love story book.
I once was lost
read
in
the Bible.
Sin, but Jesus
read the Bible.
Me, and little light from heaven filled my soul.
It made my heart in love.
Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. In a little prayer will turn it. No little fire is burning. Had a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Listen to this.
And by that, pray a cheer. And then a little light from heaven fills my soul. Amen. Just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. Hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn in. You'll know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I'm going to sing this last verse and then we'll be dismissed. Filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. Oh, I go to him in prayer. Remember to pray for the family, Brother Ray. We'll let you know what they're going to do a little bit later on. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. Answer by and by.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
And then a little cloud of doubt may hold the day. The Mississippi may rise and hide the starry skies. But just for all that Jesus clears away. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. And when you feel a little prayer will turn it, know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk when Jesus makes it right. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Gave my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus.
And then he'll set her heart a little wide, Lord, and the things that she has to go through and all those things that are happening. We pray that you'd anoint, Lord, the family, Lord, and bless them and be with them and touch them. Be with this family here, Lord, and keep our little sister, Lord, from all the wiles of the devil. May you protect her, Lord. Protect mom and dad and the little brother too, Father. We love them with our love of the Lord, and we pray that you'll just take care of them now. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. You can believe, okay? Okay? Don't let mom in.
And hide the starry sky.
Keep us all in your prayer. Pray for Brother Ray's family. We'll see you Sunday. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Be careful going home. Faintest cry, you're dismissed. Answer by and by.